This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, I mean, it's that time of year. The weather's getting better.
Yeah, I want to say slowly getting better, but in your case, it's kind of not. It's kind of like quickly getting better.
It was quickly better this week. I mean, 2 days of 80 has just, you know, made me think good thoughts.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about what all has to be done this year to the yard and all that. Because I've been reading, everybody in town is saying, I need a landscaper. I need this. I'm going to redo the mulch. And I'm reading all this. I'm going, boy, they're ready.
Yeah.
You know, the stores better get ready for them.
Boy, there is nothing like when you get to, you know, after winter and you get into the spring, that first time that you smell fresh cut grass. Oh, there's nothing like that in the world. Isn't that great?
That's right.
Yes.
And, you know, we tried the regular grass hay on the llamas, and they said, well, I guess we have to eat it, but we don't have to get excited. And, you know, usually they get really, really excited when it's alfalfa, and this does not excite them.
Really?
And I thought, well, we'll try it one time because there's so much difference in price right now. Hay is really high right now, and they're nice and polite. But they don't really like it, I can tell you.
So they didn't exactly put in a formal complaint. They're not really thrilled with their
They're
food.
Not really thrilled in that. It's lasted 2 weeks.
Ooh.
And And for them, a big round bale, they can eat in 1 week.
So they're just kind of like
just being polite. just being polite. So anyway. They're going to eat it, but just in their own good time.
Yeah, they're just grazing on it instead of like, they're savoring it. Maybe that's what they're doing, taking it slow. And
usually
easy.
They lay down beside it and just stay with it.
Oh.
They'll lay down by a big bale of hay and just stay there for a couple of days. Yeah, they'll just stay. It's just crazy.
Wow.
Like that.
Oddly yeah. enough, that sounds like a great afternoon.
That's right. I mean, for them, it's like having chocolate, you know.
Oh.
It's a great afternoon. We'll just stay and eat.
Yeah.
But they've got some good ryegrass, and it's coming up again. So, you know, they're out there eating a little of that, and that, they love that.
Yeah.
And we give them nibbies, which is a grain that's got really great stuff in it. So I guess they just said, you know, this is not the greatest. We'll just eat it as we go along. They're not going to stay with it, I can tell you.
It's kind of like children when you try to feed them broccoli and they don't like it. They'll be there for hours eating broccoli because it's so terrible.
That's right, and they're hiding it under the table if they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they can, they'll just hide it and say, oh, yes, we ate that. I know all about that.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, at least the llamas are polite about it.
They're polite. They're a lot more polite than people, let me tell you.
That's what makes them special.
And they're so elegant. You know, when you watch them walk, they're just elegant.
Yeah.
They just move along very slowly. And they're gorgeous. I mean, they really are gorgeous pets.
Yeah, very graceful and very docile and friendly. And because you say they talk to, like, just about everybody, right? Anybody that comes
around. They do. It doesn't matter who it is. They'll come up to them. They're friendly. They want to smell you, check you out. And they just like everybody.
If we were all like llamas, just like everybody and smell people, we'd be all in good shape.
It would be a wonderful world.
It really would be.
You know, if we didn't have any politics in this world. Can you imagine how a wonderful world it would be?
Oh, my goodness.
It'd just be everybody just be making a living, going out on Saturday night, having chocolate pie, Dr. Pepper along the way.
Oh.
Gosh, what a life it'd be.
Yes, and maybe on a random Wednesday, lay down next to some grass and just gnaw on it for a couple hours in the afternoon.
That's right. I mean, life would be so good. I mean,
wow.
I just don't know how we could.
It's a very interesting picture, that's for sure.
That's right. Well, I'm trying to think of the things I would really like in life, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
Just peace and quiet and a wonderful life. I'm like Jimmy Stewart. I want a wonderful life.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
You don't have to be a rock star or anything like that, but just nice, peace, quiet, like you say, chocolate pie, Dr. Pepper. We're good to go. Just the simple things.
That's right. Being out on a lake, you know, on the edge of the lake or in it, watching the water go by. I mean, the ducks. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of ducks around here, and these ducks are just so happy. You know, they get up on the bank and sit there a while, then they get back in the water, and they live a pretty simple life.
Yeah. It would be good to be them. There's so much noise in the world. It's just, like, so loud. It's just, ugh, just quiet down for a little bit. Just hang out by a river or a lake or something. Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, Texas has more places in the whole wide world. We have 21 waterfalls in Texas.
Do we really?
We really do. We've got so many things. We could not possibly see all there is to see in Texas. I don't believe in our lifetime.
Probably not, no. Especially when you start taking a list of all the like the trivias that you bring up and places to visit.
Yes.
I don't think that you've repeated a single one of them. In all the years that you've been doing this, I don't think you've ever gone back and had to repeat anything. It's fascinating.
Well, and there's so much I've missed.
Yeah.
When I look at all the stuff I've missed, I go, oh, my gosh, there's all this other out there that we haven't done, road trips we haven't done. You know, vacations, like the Kitty Hawk, you know, I haven't done a story on it. And there's just so many things that we could be doing, that are fun, that, you know, gets everybody in a good mood, makes you forget your troubles. And, the world is so busy right now. People do need a little time, to forget. I hate to say that.
Yeah.
But, life is so complicated.
It really is. And then you see things, you know, like the asteroid that exploded over Texas. It's like, well, who knows when, you know, a big rock's going to hit the planet. And, you know, who knows? So take advantage of
it. And then we had the earthquake.
Oh, yes.
I mean, there's never a dull moment.
Really
West
isn't.
Texas had an earthquake that was felt all the way here.
I know it.
I mean, you know.
Good
I
Lord.
Mean, if they had, think about West Texas. There's no water, no lakes.
Yeah.
I mean, and we've got a lot of mesquite, and I've always said they need to figure out something to do for that, to make it into something that would be worthwhile. Yeah. And we do have oil and gas, thank the Lord for that. But then there's a lot of things that are missing, you know? And they have to, you've got to travel in order to see the other good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to get in the car and go somewhere in order to see how other people live.
See other people. Wow.
Because other people have got some advantages on the side to take.
Yeah, that's other people. Wow, it's like traveling to foreign
other
lands.
Other people have got advantages. They've got things that I desire, like, you know, the lakes, the golf courses, you know, that are not cow pasture golf courses. There's just so many things to see, wonderful things that Texas has to offer. We have all the lakes. We look at all the places to swim in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've got things that I don't think anybody else has got. It's just a matter of going and enjoying them.
Yeah.
And finding the time. Everybody works hard Monday through Friday, and it's It's an amazing world we live in.
It is. And the fact that we can drive, all these things are within driving distance, it's really, really fantastic that we have the ability to you know, experience all these things and all these different types of things, you know, and then especially, you know, when we get the park built, that's going to be a huge destination, not only for people in the state, but probably from all around, you know, like neighboring states, you know, Arkansas, I mean.
And people are complaining already. They're going, oh my gosh, it's going to be a tremendous park. But you have to think of the big picture. How much money will be made off of this thing?
Yeah.
They've already announced a 300 suite hotel that's going to be built. I knew that was the first thing they needed was a hotel to put them in.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, man, that would be a first line. And they announced it immediately. 300 room hotel.
Jeez. And then the next thing they're going to have to do is follow that up and support it with restaurants, food, things like that.
There'll be so many restaurants. And our roads, now think about that. They're going to have to do some major changes. So there's going to be jobs and jobs and jobs for people.
Yeah.
You know, lots of things people can make money on. It's one thing about Texas. We're always building. Do you realize that? They're always in a building frame of mind, whether it's freeways that they're behind on, you know, which over here before Fort Worth, 35W should have been built with six lanes 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They're just now doing it when it's so busy you can't get down it.
Jeez.
And they have wrecks on it all the time. It's poor planning. They should have built that freeway a long time ago.
Yeah.
But they're going to have new freeways over there by Universal Studios.
Jeez. Yeah.
And the neighbors are livid.
They're quiet.
They don't realize.
Yeah.
It's going to make them all money. It's a money maker from day one. There isn't any doubt about it.
That is true. And it's going to be huge. And it'll be tough to get in for a while because the crowds are going to be like massive, you know, probably a couple of years anyway. But boy, once it's all done, hopefully they'll do it right. There'll be enough infrastructure and roads to handle all the traffic and enough accommodations for people. And it'll just hopefully, if they plan it right, do it right on the front end instead of having to, like you said, go back and redo things later. Hopefully it'll be a nice, smooth, visit. People can go have a good time. And there'll be, you know, lots of, money pumped into the economy. It could be a win for everybody. So hopefully.
I think so. And I'm always encouraging people to come to Dallas, Fort Worth. There is so many things to do here. I just can't even tell you all the things. And a lot of it's free. A lot of it doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
It's just your hotel, your food, and you could take 2 weeks in Dallas or Fort Worth and enjoy so many things that people don't get to see very often. You know, we've got so many different things, and I was just thinking about that. All the things Dallas has to offer, all the things Fort Worth has, and then Grapevine. You know, Grapevine, because of that big mall, is the destination place. It's the Christmas capital of Texas. They have all these other things. They have the train ride where you can go from Grapevine to Fort Worth and back. There's just a million things. They have a zip line over there, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and you just have to have a zip line. There's nothing like it. There's so many things all over Texas, like we just said, that people have not even done yet.
You really need to think about working with the state tourism department.
You think I could help them a little bit, huh?
I think so. Yeah. Oh, my word. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And there's a lot of good things on our website.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We haven't talked about that in a while. It's a great resource for
that's
a lot
right.
of people. You know, you find
that's
out.
Right. It's got a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you people's policies they've come in, how much they made when they came in, if they were late, if they were early, if they were on time. And let's talk about policies and talk about making money. we've got a lot of policies right now that we're bidding on that we should be closing very quickly. And all of them have got the policy. The premium is almost nothing. Premiums are very, very low. They're all short term. I think maybe we've got one that's as long as we usually do, but all the others are like 16, 18, and I think we're going to have one 12 month.
Mm.
This Mr. Chang, and I think we talked about him on the air, didn't we?
Not in a while. He just kind of disappeared.
He disappeared. Mr. Chang is the guy that was like had a 24 month, and in 6 weeks it went down to 16.
Yeah.
And he disappeared. We couldn't find him. And he went and did a clinical trial. He just knew that this was going to save him. And now he has now called back, wants to sell one of his policies.
Really?
Yeah, because it didn't help. It didn't extend his life. I could have told him it wasn't going to, not when it's down to 16, 18 months. I mean, they're not going to be able to save you at that point. So now he's finally showed up, and he's the one that had a bucket list. He went to Italy and all these other places.
Jeez.
Which, and then he just disappeared. And now he's back and wants to sell his policy. So we told him, yes, we would go ahead and buy it. And then we've had another guy come back that we bid his policy in October.
Really?
And and he decided not to sell. And now he's serious about selling. And a lot of these people don't realize that if you need the money then and you go out and borrow on this policy, now you've got a note on it. We have to pay off the loan on it to buy it.
Mm.
And that's what Mr. Chang did. He went and borrowed on both of his policies. And I don't understand it. He borrowed $250,000 on each one. So that is that lowers the price of what we can give him for his policy because he's got to pay off his loans.
Wouldn't it have made more sense for him to just sell it?
It would have. There'd be no loan, no interest due. It'd be a clean deal. He would get more cash that way. But apparently Mr. Chang doesn't understand all this high finance.
Wow.
So, it's just, it must be over his head. I'm not real sure. But I know that before, he just disappeared, didn't say a word. But we have some really good policies. Everybody's got a lot of money in their accounts right now. We're waiting on the last Pincus. That was $5 million. $4 million is in the bank in people's accounts. Then we've got McConnell, which we think McConnell will pay off about the 12th. We're waiting for that check, and that's a $4 million.
Oh wow, that's a big one.
Yes, and then Kettlewell is in their accounts. Kettlewell only had four people in it, but they paid since it was late. They paid an extra 8% interest on it.
Really? Now that's a nice surprise.
They did the right thing. Sometimes they don't, and this company did the right thing. And gave them an 8% interest on it.
Wow.
So that made it worthwhile. Not only do you get your regular interest and your principal back, you got an extra 8% on it.
So when people do, and I don't know how to ask this, but when companies do, if they're late and they pay an extra percentage of interest, where does that interest come from? It doesn't come, does that just come out of
from that company.
Wow.
It comes out of their funds.
Oh, wow.
And if most policies read that they will pay interest from the time they find out about the death until it's paid. Some companies don't, but a lot of them have that in the contract, that they will pay interest from the time we notify them till they pay the claim.
Wow.
So sometimes it's 2%, sometimes it's 3%. Usually pretty good extra interest. Now, we had one company that, according to their contract, they didn't have to pay a thing. So even though they were late getting us the check, they did not pay us extra. But most of them do pay extra. And so I always want to tell people, when we send them the information, that they did get extra interest.
Wow. That's really cool. That's a nice little surprise. It's nice when that happens.
It is a good surprise. And there's some companies that pay quickly and some are just trying to avoid it. And like Opinkas, they started paying just like a slot machine. And it was big money, but it was a good company. And when you've got someone like Prudential or some of these others, they pay very well. The one that that pays the slowest is Transamerica.
Really?
Yeah. Transamerica always tries to hang on. And lots of times we have to call them or write them a letter and say, you know, what is the holdup? And why did we not have the check?
You know, it's, I know that people want to get paid as fast as possible, but it's almost like if there is a delay and there's some interest involved, it's almost like, well, you know, if you pay a little late, you know, there's some interest, I don't mind. I get a little extra free profit. That's kind of cool.
That's right. It just brings them a little extra. And as I said, most companies pay very quickly. As I said, on Pinkas, it's millions, and they paid it very quickly. And it didn't say, oh, we're examining it. Yeah. And a lot of companies are that way. They pay very good, very quickly. And then some, you know, say, oh, man, if we could just delay that a couple of weeks, you know.
Yeah.
But no, most insurance companies are pretty good about it. We've only had two or three that we have to really watch and jack them up, say, you know, come on, let's get that check out.
How long is the like when what's that mark where they have to, you know, pay interest? Is it a couple of weeks, months, or does it change?
Everybody has a different equation in their policies as to when they have to start paying interest.
Okay. All right. Because I know we don't want to start wishing for people to pay late, but it's like if you can get a little bit extra, it almost seems like if it was like, you know, 4 weeks or 6 weeks late to get an extra, you know, 8% of interest, it would almost seem like that would be worth it. And again, you don't have any control over it. It's just, you know, it's it kind of puts things in perspective, I guess.
That's right. And as I said, some will try to take 40 days. And we're on them trying to jack them up and get them. But then a lot of them pay in 3 weeks, you know. And none of them will send a FedEx. That's an amazing thing to me. And if we really need to get it fast, we'll call them and get them our FedEx number where they can FedEx it. Because they want to delay that check as long as possible.
Wow.
They're going to send it out regular mail every time. They're so tight. Here they're sending us millions of dollars. But they don't want to send it FedEx. They want to send it just regular snail mail, which always amazes me. I can't understand that.
Boy, that would just make me nervous to send a million-dollar check through the mail.
Oh, they do it every day. You know, a million, 5 million, they don't care. They just, oh, yeah, we'll mail that out.
Wow.
And we'll say, how's it coming? Oh, regular mail.
Oh, jeez. So yeah. You can't even track it that way. It's just, it gets here when it gets here.
No, you can't track it.
Yikes.
All you can do is call them and say, what day are you mailing it? You know, where we can be looking for it. And then sometimes we'll say, if we send you a FedEx information, would you mind FedExing it? And sometimes they will, if we'll pay for it.
Mm. Wow. So interesting how these people, it's just like, you know, they're in a hurry to get their money in, but not so much in a hurry to send it out. But it's great, though, that, you know, we're only talking about a couple of weeks. So really the turnaround is really exceptionally, I guess, quick compared to other avenues or other opportunities, I guess. But it's neat to know that if there is a delay, there is some chance to get a little bit of extra compensation for it. It's a win on either level is, I guess, what I'm trying to say, no matter what happens.
Right, and we're glad they're paying. We're always thankful for that, even if some of them do take their time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's like, you know, you go in the stock market and you still see people. And that's another thing. I saw somebody predict something that, oh, geez, what was it? Oh, I meant to write it down and I forgot. But they had predicted something absolutely terrible in the economy, in the stock market. No, they said that we are on a path that is almost uncorrectable, I think is how they put it. So, yeah.
Well, a lot of them are saying, you know, the people in the stock market should not be there. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
And you saw how far it dropped this week. 650 points the Dow went down.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez.
I mean, that's a lot.
It is.
And I, as I said, I've talked to a lot of people that have lost some pretty good money in the stock market because they just stayed there too long. I think it's one of those things. When the economy's like it is and you stay too long, you know, it's not good.
Yeah. You overstay your welcome. And it just, I think people are maybe just waiting for it to, like, all of a sudden just boom and just explode back up or something like that, waiting for somebody to somehow hit a home run or I don't know what's happening, but it just seems like people are just, like you say, they're overstaying their welcome. They're staying too long. And it's just like the numbers just keep getting, you know, worse and worse and worse. And finally, people come to you from what it sounds like. And they say, look, we've just lost too much money. We got to do something else. I think that's kind of how it generally goes. That's the feedback you hear, right?
It is. And people come in and say, you know, we're getting ready to retire and we can't do this. We can't lose any more money. And, I understand it completely.
It's just one of those situations where it's just like, you know, you look at all your opportunities and there's only one thing, no matter what the situation is, whether it's, you know, and I know we've said this before, but it's just as we like literally go through these different types of scenarios, it seems like it just kind of keeps holding steady. It keeps proving its own point that no matter what's going on, whether it's war overseas or whether it's, you know, weird things in our own economy or debt ceilings or, you know, congressional budget balancing or, you know, stock market or predicted, you know, recessions and depressions and all that. The only thing that holds its value is a life insurance policy. And that's no matter what
and
the situation is.
A lot of people don't
is.
Realize that.
Yeah.
You know, even though they see it every time we have another policy come due, they see they got their money, they got their interest, and it's not like the stock market. There's no guarantee of any interest. There's no guarantee of principal.
Mm-mm.
And your principal's always safe. You always know you'll get your interest. So there's so much difference. I don't understand it. The people that have lost all this money in the stock market, they'll eventually go back in it. They'll come back with us, and then they'll get this hair and decide, I'm going to go back in there and try it again. If it didn't work the first time, why is it going to work the second time?
Yeah, especially now.
Yeah, I mean, we're fixing to have the greatest downturn, they say. You know, Wells Fargo, again, has cut, I think, 1,000-something jobs in their mortgage department.
Jeez.
All these big companies are saying, you know, we need to get lean and mean. And they're laying off people where they can get down to where if the downturn gets bad, they can survive it. Because big companies have tremendous salaries.
Yeah.
You know, and they're now realizing those 10,000, maybe they didn't need 10,000 or 5,000 employees.
Hmm.
Maybe they only need 1,000. You know, I'm always hearing these stories where some of these employees haven't been there in 2 or 3 years, and they haven't even missed them. They're paying them, but they don't realize they're not even there.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and then
we had a guy at a hospital here in Texas. For 15 years, he never went in one day.
And still
and
got
nobody
paid.
Caught it. And he got $450,000 in 15 years.
Wow. Didn't do a day
and
work.
Nobody never noticed he wasn't there. What kind of a deal is that? I mean, Lord.
How does that happen?
I can't imagine how anybody could have gotten by with it.
Yeah, me neither. Me either. And then you see, you know, it's just, it's almost like, you know, the last several years, you know, what, 2, 3, maybe 4 years, it's like, you know, people started getting into like online shopping and the Amazon thing and all that. But then once COVID hit and then stores were shutting down, it seems like people got used to doing things online. And now, you know, like you've said before, you know, people, it's normal for people to do online. So they don't need to have brick and mortar stores anymore. They don't need to be in malls. That's why malls are, you know, abandoned, and you know, stores are pulling out, and companies are filing bankruptcy, and they're scaling back, and they're doing all these things, and it doesn't really seem to affect the consumer's experience for the most part, because we're already used to it. On this side of the fence, we're already used to doing almost everything online. It's the internal, I guess, day-to-day functions of companies that has changed a lot. But our experience, we're already used to online shopping. So it's a whole shift.
Well, and I was reading this week, and you know how I feel about REITs anyway, because they're forever. This REIT is in trouble. It had rental housing, and it's just not working. Those rentals are not working. So this REIT now is in trouble, and they promised all this interest for the next 20 years, and they're not going to be able to come up with it because they can't rent the houses they did.
Jeez.
Yeah. And, wow. You know, it's just, it's amazing what they'll put people in. And, you know, you've got all these big buildings, and a lot of them, like you say, people say, I don't really need to be in that big a building. I don't need that big a square footage. So they're moving to smaller quarters, and that's hurting their bottom line on a lot of these big buildings.
Yeah. The question I have is all these companies that are scaling back, you know, having all these large layoffs, you know, like you were talking about with, you know, Wells Fargo and, you know, Party City and, you know, all these other companies that are doing these. Even Google is laying off people, and Facebook and all these places. Where are these people eventually going to go? You know, it's just like,
I don't know. I haven't figured out where they're going to go work. Here in Dallas, we need an extra man at our place. And there's all these new places you can advertise, and you don't have to go pay an agency. That's another thing. We've always paid an agency for our help, and they do the background checks, the FBI check. You know, they check them every way in the world. But you have to pay a lot of money for that. Hmm. It's like thousands of dollars. So now we found out that you go online to this online deal, and you put your job out there. And we had like 54 people apply.
Really?
That tells you how many people have been laid off in Dallas, Texas.
Jeez.
And we had some that were, we interviewed, we said, oh my gosh, no, 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 no. But then the fifth person was just right. Hmm. It's like the story of the three bears, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The first three bears weren't even good, but that fourth bear was. And, we learned a lot about these people, what they'd been doing, why they'd been laid off, you know, the whole deal.
Jeez. Yeah, it's just, it's, we are, I don't know. I think that, you know, when people look at the big picture, all the things that people say about, you know, recessions and depressions and, you know, inflation and all these things, it seems like we're in uncharted territory where, like, everything is kind of coming together all at the same time. And it's so strange because there's so many conflicting different things. You know, people are spending like crazy, but stores are making less money than they've ever made. And it's just like, well, what's happening here? So, I don't know.
Well, and that's why I like what we do.
Yeah.
That's why I love this, because it's an insurance policy. We're investing in a life insurance policy. We know we'll get paid. It's not like we're out here doing something like real estate that's uncertain right now, rental houses, houses to being built. They're down 30%. So our business is not down. It's staying the same. Sometimes we can't get policies, but we eventually get them. We make a profit on them. Our clients make a profit on them. And we know that we'll always get our principal back. We know we'll always get paid. And if we were in the stock market, it'd be dicey. We wouldn't know from day to day how much we've lost, how much we've made. And you can't depend on it. We can depend every day on a life insurance policy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know in the past, some of the LEs were not as good as they should have been, but we've improved that. We've got that back on track. The policies are coming in a little early right now, which is a good thing. And we've still got some, three or four, that we're waiting on the lantern for them to come in. But, you know, they will. They will come in. We will get paid on them. In the meantime, we're making a lot of money. We had 26 maturities this year.
Jeez.
And that is millions of dollars that came in.
Wow.
So people have been paid back a lot of money. It's IRA time at the end of the year. A lot of people have got to take money out. I was looking at a lot of them had their RMDs they had to take. You know, it's 50% penalty if you don't take the money out and pay your tax on it. So it's that time of year people are taking money out, getting their taxes done. So that's a good thing, too. And, you know, they've moved that back now to 73 when you have to start taking your RMDs out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You
it was
what?
72 and a half. They moved it back now, which will help people. But look at all the people that have Roths with us. If you have a Roth, you don't pay tax on it. You pay it up front, and then whatever it makes from now on, it's yours to keep. And you're not going to owe taxes. When you take that money out, it's yours. No taxes due. So a Roth is even better than an IRA. An IRA you don't have to take out now until 73, but you do have to pay the taxes eventually. The government doesn't want you to die and not have your taxes paid.
Oh, no. They're going to take theirs regardless.
They want to get theirs. So, you know, I don't know anything that could be better than the way we're doing this, because you've got your principal's guaranteed, your interest is guaranteed. You know you'll always get your money back. So, you know, it's a good conservative investment. It has risk, but it's not like the market risk. You're not risking your principal. You're not risking everything you've got, like your retirement money. You're risking the whole thing when it's in the stock market.
Yeah, yeah.
And
literally,
I wouldn't want to risk everything I have.
No, especially as you get closer and closer. You don't want to have to all of a sudden start over at the last minute. That's not a...
That's right. It's not funny.
No.
When you lose down to, you know, where it's really hurting. And I have people every day say, you know, I've lost $100,000, I've lost $50,000, and they come and talk to us about it.
Jeez. Yeah. No matter what the situation is, you know, life settlements hold their value. Regardless,
it'll hold their value. It's never going to be worth less than what you paid for it. You know, you know that your principal, you'll always get that back. So it's not going to go down in value. We're not going to say, okay, you know, let's give you 50 cents on the dollar. I know a lot of these deals, these companies that go bankrupt, they offer you 10, 15 cents on the dollar.
Jeez.
You know. These big companies, you know, these mutual funds, all these companies, when they go under, you don't get all your money back.
No.
And if you were in crypto and involved with that LTX guy, you are sadly in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that's a disaster. Wow.
Billions have disappeared, just disappeared. Where it is, nobody knows.
Jeez. So strange. And that's what it's all about. And so, you know, do what you know, do what holds its value, regardless of what the situation is. You were leery about those things at the beginning. You're like, I don't understand it. It just doesn't make any sense. And now a lot of other people now are scratching their heads saying, well, we don't understand it either. Where did our money go? It doesn't make any sense. So,
and the crypto, all these big, huge companies that were coming to South Texas to do all this, they pulled back. Because it's so iffy. They're scared to death now.
Yeah, and they should
be. Yeah, they should be. They had all this money. I still haven't ever forgot what that one guy said. Can I go down to the Chevrolet house and use this as cash? He wanted to know, you know, what in the heck could he do with it?
Yeah.
How do you use it, he said. So, you know, it's iffy now. And these people have really pulled back in Texas. That we're going to do this fabulous crypto deal that was going to be worth billions.
Yeah, was being the key word.
It did
work.
So, you know, a conservative investment, it may not look as good as something else, but to me it looks better than anything else. And when I talk to people about it, I say, do you want to do annuities? Do you want to do life settlements? And they say, well, which makes the most? I say, well, a life settlement will. But an annuity is there forever. Annuity is a contract that's going to give you lifetime income that you can't outlive. So when we explain it, it's completely different. An annuity is for someone who wants to sit back and draw money every year off of it. They don't want to think about the investment. They want it just fixed and left like it is. And then they draw on it every year. I have a lady that came in this week. She's had an annuity, her and her husband, with me for, I guess, 10, 12 years. He's passed away, so she's cashed his out, and now we're going to put it in an annuity for her as a widow. And, you know, everybody's getting older that I've done annuities for. So now a lot of them are changing their annuities from one company to another, you know, to see them through the rest of the way. She's made money on both of them all these years, and now she's ready to put this one in her name from her dead husband.
Wow.
But it's amazing how many annuity clients we have that have stayed with their annuity all these years. They're happy. They're drawing their income off of it, and they don't even think about their investment. It's there. It's safe, and they just go right on.
Yeah. It's perfect for people who just want to set it and forget it, not worry about it, not have to think about it, just take the money once a year, and then boom, you just kind of go on your way. It's the simplest, it's the safest, and it's not in the stock market. So it really is a big thing that a lot of people are doing, and that's what it's all about. It's about making money. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
I'm going to tell you about a man from Dallas, Texas, who was very successful, who did a lot with his life, and he did it during the Depression.
Whoa.
So you can imagine. I'm going to tell you about Trammell Crowe. He's born in 1914, so you know what it's like back then. He lived in Old East Dallas, and as a kid, he did odd jobs. He plucked chickens, he cleaned bricks, he unloaded boxcars, and this was at the age of 10.
Wow.
Until his dad found out about it and he stopped it. He was the fifth of eight kids. They were reared in Old East Dallas. His dad was a bookkeeper for the builder of Munger Place Subdivision over there. He went to Woodrow Wilson High School. He couldn't go to college because the Great Depression was on. He worked at odd jobs. In 1933, he landed a job for $13 a week as a runner for Mercantile National Bank.
Wow. $13
a week.
Jeez.
Yeah. So then he decided to attend night school. So he went to SMU at night to study accounting, and he graduated in 1938 at the age of 24. He's the youngest CPA in Texas.
Really?
Most kids cannot graduate at 24 and get a CPA designation. Do you know how hard it is to get a CPA degree?
It's very difficult.
I know an old boy that had to take it several times just to pass.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, he joined the Navy in 1940. He used his background in accounting, and they offered him a commission auditing the books of the defense contractor.
Whoa.
So, yeah, so I'd never heard of that. So he remained with the Navy even after World War II, and he finalized settlements with contractors. So he was a commander when he returned to Dallas. And he said, you know, he became an agent for North American Van Lines. Hmm. And he worked as a wholesale grain merchandiser. And then that faded. And at the age of 33, he decided to go into the warehouse real estate development. Now, this guy started when most people are just getting their degrees.
Yeah.
And he's already been through the Navy, became a commander, has a CPA degree. He built his first warehouse in 48. He leased it to Rayovac Battery Company. And that's how he learned. The warehouse was larger than what Rayovac needed. And he was able to add additional tenants. He convinced Decca Records to sign for the rest of it.
Really?
And that's what showed him how to do warehouses. He was the king of warehouses in Dallas. I can remember years ago, you'd see all these buildings, Trammell Crowe Leasing, and he would build warehouses everywhere in Dallas and lease them out. And he was so smart, he made a lot of money. He finally went public. And at that time, he owned 300 million square feet of office and warehouses.
Really?
100 different locations all over the United States, all the way to San Francisco, Atlanta. He built a 50-story building here in Dallas. Then he built the Chase building here in town. So, and everybody kidded it because his name was Crow. And they said the other real estate companies are for the birds. And they were always joking about his name, you know. And so then he decided to go public. And so in 1997, after he's done all these buildings all over the United States, he went on the New York Stock Exchange. And in 2006, he sold his company to Richard Ellis for $2.2 billion.
No. Really?
Yes. And this is a kid who was making $13 a week as a runner for the bank.
Jeez.
Who went to night school to become a CPA.
Yeah. And did all this during the Depression time.
During the Depression. And in the 40s, him and his wife, Margaret, had six children.
Wow. Neat.
And then the other neat thing about him, you know, all these people in Dallas that made it big, they did museums in their name. You know, we've got five museums in Dallas. And we've got the Trammell Crow Museum. They collected all this East Asian art. And it's probably the best Asian art museum in the country. Probably the very, and they donated over 500 pieces of their very best Asian art to the museum where the people of Dallas could go and look at it and enjoy it without having to go anywhere. You don't have to go anywhere. And it's free, by the way.
Really?
Yes, it's free. You can go there and look at all of his art. They've got art from everywhere in Asia.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yes. So and later, after him and his wife had collected a lot of this art, they hired a friend of his son's from college to represent them in Tokyo and all over the world for this art. And as I said, they've got probably the best collection of Asian art in the United States.
Wow. Dang.
And it is free, and they have a garden, a beautiful garden. You can go and sit in the garden. It's got trees. I mean, it's a beautiful place. And they did this for the city of Dallas.
Wow.
And it's just amazing all the things they did. Now, later in life, and it was tragic, he got Alzheimer's.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So he didn't get to enjoy everything after a certain age. But he died. He was 94 at his ranch. He's buried at the Texas State Cemetery in Austin.
Really?
And he died at 94. His wife, Margaret, died 5 years later than him, also at the age of 94.
Wow.
But his daughter, Lucy Billingsley, she builds under her name, the Billingsley Companies in Dallas, and others build under their names in Dallas. It's still really a big deal, the Trammell Crow Company in Dallas, Texas.
Wow. We need more statues in his name.
We really do, because they were a big philanthropist. They gave a lot of money to a lot of things. And as I said, their museum has got the best Asian art in the country.
Jeez.
Can you imagine a boy starting out $13 a week, went to night school, the Depression was on. I mean, you know, and the youngest CPA at 24.
Wow. Talk about going against the odds.
I don't know anybody that's got their CPA degree by 24. I just don't know of anybody.
I know it. I know it. Not only was he ahead of the curve for his education, but it's like almost sounds like he was ahead of the curve as far as, you know, like business development and, you know, like warehousing and things like that. It just like he paved the way for so many different things. It's fascinating.
Can you imagine going out here and discovering that on these warehouses, that if you leased it out, you've already got your money on the first deal, and they don't need the whole thing. So then it's 100% money to you on that last part of the warehouse.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how he learned how to do it. And he said, man, this is a heck of a deal, you know.
Yeah. It's almost like charging twice.
That's exactly what it's like. And so he started out that way. He just kept going once he learned how to do it. And then he started building the big skyscrapers, big office buildings everywhere. And his name was on everything. I can remember in Dallas seeing his name on so many things. And it's a Trammell Crow building, you know, on that downtown big building.
Yeah.
And so it's an amazing story about this amazing man that started with nothing. And then look what he did in the Navy.
Yeah.
He became a commander. I mean, how many people go in the Navy and come out as a commander, you know, from nothing, from scratch?
Yeah. And then audited books for them. And I mean, it's just.
Yeah. And look how young he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 20-something years old in the Navy.
Jeez. Wow. And then when it's all said and done, he gave back. I mean, all the philanthropy.
He gave back to his community.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he gave a lot of philanthropy, hospitals, a lot of things that people don't even realize that they gave to. And it's amazing. They had six children. All of them but one was a really great addition to the family. They had one boy that had problems. But if you've got six, if just one has a problem, that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, so, you know, it's an amazing story. We should all be so lucky to start out with nothing and, you know, figure out a way to do something. And back then, a lot of guys didn't even get a college degree. And you know, he was lucky enough to do it at night. And he had the determination. That's what I love about the man.
Yeah.
The determination to better himself. And he had to be awfully smart to get a CPA degree at 24. I just can't. I can't imagine that.
Yeah. And to not give up, just to keep going, no matter what the odds were, no matter what was working against him, he just kept going.
Yeah. And he was just doing odd jobs during the day and then going to school at night.
Yeah. Jeez. You know, you hear the name or you see the name like on a building or something like that, but you don't always know the story behind it. And really, that gives you a whole new appreciation. It's really kind of, it'll make you pause for a minute and say, wow, that one person, it's amazing not only what one person can do for themselves to dig out of a situation that they were in, but then to influence so many other people at the same time. It's really quite fascinating.
That's right. And you know, he got a lot of awards during his life. You know, he received the Golden Plate Award of the American Academy of Achievement. He got several awards. And it's amazing, you know. But everybody saw what all he'd done, all the good he'd done. And, you know, he was rewarded for a lot of things he did, the accomplishments in his life.
Yeah. Yeah. And the museum is free, you said, right?
The museum's free.
Hmm. Man.
You can go and see all this collection, and they did it over years. The best Asian art in the world. There's nothing in the United States as good as his collection.
Wow. How cool. It's definitely worth taking
a trip. And they donated over 500 pieces for this art collection.
Jeez.
So you can imagine what it's like.
Yeah. Not only just the sheer number, but probably what each of them are worth on top of it.
You know, there's no telling. Yeah. There's just no telling what it's worth.
Wow.
But anyway, can you imagine selling your company for $2.2 billion?
Yeah, especially when you look back and you started out working for $13 a week.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If you're working for $13 and you're just a little poor kid, and he pulled himself up. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
Yeah, and then you sell your company for $2 billion.
Like, oh, yeah, man. I mean, they worked hard, I can tell you, and accomplished an awful lot, and then gave back to the city with this fine, fine museum that they did of Asian art.
Yeah.
So, and it, as I said, it is free. We've got a lot of museums in Dallas. There's so many things in Dallas that a person could come and see and spend a week or 3 days here and go to some of these things. A little culture is good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. We forget. Well, we either forget or we don't realize what we have right in our own backyard sometimes and don't always take advantage of it. So really,
well,
really
and
cool.
Because a lot of us can't travel to the Far East, Japan, Singapore, you know, the places a lot of this comes from. And you can go to the museums in Dallas, and it's just like you've traveled the world.
Yeah, yeah, it really
you
is.
Know?
It's fantastic, the resources that we have. So, wow.
And you know, when you can go and it's free, it really is nice.
It is. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I know before we wrap up, you always like to go over the risks with a life settlement. I don't think we've done it yet. So what's the biggest risk with a life settlement?
The biggest risk is when you invest in a policy, it could go over. If it goes over, you have premiums to pay. That is just a part of life. Sometimes there's never a premium due. But sometimes if it goes over, that's your risk. You have to pay those premiums. And when we go into a policy, we always tell you if there's premiums going to be due. If there's not going to be any premiums, we're going to tell you that. Sometimes there's not any premium for 5 years. And so that is null and void. You don't have to worry. But we always tell you in the offering what the premium is going to be, what it will cost you to do this. So that is your biggest risk. The second risk is, remember, it's not liquid till the policy matures. When the policy matures, it's liquid then. So that's your two risks right there. And that's not bad risk.
No, especially when you consider the fact that you've got to be accredited even to do it. It's just like these are really almost non-issues, but people do need to know. Speaking of accredited, what can you run down the accredited thing?
Yes, to be accredited, you must either make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your home.
Okay.
And to do this investment, you must be accredited. Also, the minimum investment is $100,000. Uh-huh. I don't know if we always tell people that or not.
And if annuities are something that people want to do, what are there any risks involved with annuities?
Really not, because it's just a contract, a retirement contract with a life insurance company. So you know that your premium is safe, your interest is locked in once a year. Or sometimes we can do it every 2 years lock in. But anyway, your interest, when it's credited, is locked in. It never goes away.
Okay. Either way, whether it's life settlements or annuities, both of them are independent of the stock market, which is good. Both of them maintain their value, which is great. So two of the probably the most conservative investment opportunities available. I know a lot of people have been coming over lately in the last several weeks, the last several months. They've said, you know, hey, we need something a little bit more conservative. And sometimes people get in one or the other or sometimes both. Either way, I assume you have appointments availability this coming week to talk to people about
it. That's right, because we don't have any holidays this week, so we'll be here. You know, we're working hard. We're getting policies in. We're going to get people in these policies, get them invested again because they're sitting there with cash. A lot of them, and they need to reinvest their money. So we're going to get that done.
Cool.
So we'll be busy this week talking to people, getting them fully invested.
All righty. And one last time for people to call, get started, get some more information, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.